It's time for Tastemaker Talk, the podcast for food creators who want to level up their business and make an impact in the creator economy. I'm Abby Rodriguez.
And I'm Chandice Probst. We are your hosts and fellow food content creators here to dive deep into the trends, tools, and topics shaping the industry around us. There's so much to uncover, so let's talk about it.
Tastemaker Talk.
We are so excited to dive into today's episode with you. But before we do, a quick word from our 2027 platinum sponsor, Mediavine. Smarter monetization starts with Mediavine. Their platform helps publishers grow revenue through cleaner ad experiences, stronger performance, and technology built for long-term growth. Trusted by more than 18,000 publishers, Mediavine is helping shape the future of digital publishing. We are so excited to welcome Katie Trant today. Katie is a branding expert, a copywriter, and an OG food blogger. For over 15 years, she's worked at brand consultancies. Consultancies, is that how I say it?
Uh-huh.
Perfect. Helping huge global players define their brands. In 2024, Katie launched Foodie Brand Lab, a brand consultancy built for creators who want to build a brand, refine their brand strategy, and future-proof their revenue with the power of a strong brand. I love that you put that in there because I think that's something that creators are all looking to do. So welcome, Katie. We're so glad you're here.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, I know we wanted to get right into everything. So we have a lot. We have a lot of questions for you. I think our creators are looking to get answers and you're the expert in this. So let's talk.
All right.
So brand,
yep.
You know, we mentioned it multiple times in your bio. Brand is a word that gets a lot of use, but not always clearly. So when you talk about brand strategy for creators, what do you actually mean? And why does it matter so much right now?
Yeah. Great question. Thank you for starting with that. Because I agree, when I started Foodie Brand Lab, I had heard the conversation really shift in the creator space to, okay, it's time to build a brand. You have to build a brand. Everybody has to build a brand. But nobody was really talking about what that actually means. And it is a word that gets, you know, we talk about working with brands. We talk about branding on our website. We talk about personal brand. So it is a word that has a lot of different contexts and meanings. And it is a little bit hard to understand. Like, it is a high level concept when I say I work with brand and I work with brand strategy. But what a brand is, I think a really simple analogy is to talk about a symphony. So if you have a symphony, you have like the woodwinds and you have the brass section and you have the strings. And you have a conductor who's at the middle, who's kind of driving the whole thing and getting people to play music in different sections. And when people leave a symphony, they don't really talk about the flutes were so good or the violins were so good. They talk about the overall experience that they had when they were there. And a brand is very much like that. Like, you can consider yourself the founder, the creator, the business owner as the conductor. You are at the center of the brand. And then you have all of these elements that you're conducting. So you've got your visual identity, your logo, your colors, your photography style. You have your brand position. You have the market that you operate in, which is adjacent to your niche. You've got your brand values, your brand personality, and all of these pieces. It's your job as the conductor to raise the level or lower the level and kind of use those as levers to shape an experience that your audience has. So when they walk away, they don't only talk about the logo or they don't only talk about, you know, a lone recipe, but it's the overall experience that you're shaping. That is the brand.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think is really helpful because I think that we've had like a thought of what brand is, and understanding that more fully helps us to truly understand the whole of what it is.
Yes. Exactly.
So what's the number one question you get asked with your clients when they are coming at this for the first time?
Do I need to redesign my website if I work with you? And my answer is typically no. I mean, the website is just one element of your brand, right? So what I work with is like, I peel the lid open and look in and look at all those elements that are there that comprise the brand. I do a brand audit and see what's already there. And then we do brand mapping and competitor analysis and look for gaps in the market and white space and those differentiators. And we use that information to piece together a brand strategy that enables a creator to not only stand out in a really crowded market. I mean, food is probably the most competitive niche on the internet, I think. I read a statistic it was at some point, but to really understand what their brand is, who they are, why they exist, and what they're going to do to move their brand forward. Because I think that a challenge that a lot of creators are facing is that many of us started a business, right? We started a recipe website, we monetized it. And then now with everything changing so rapidly with search and AI and everything like that, having a strong brand has become really, really important. Yeah. So you're not starting from scratch. You have this business that you've already built. But what you need to understand is how to operate the brand that represents that business in a way that enables you to take it into the future, in a way that you can future-proof your revenue. You're not super dependent on an algorithm or ads, anything like that. Like, what do I do with this business that I've built in a market that's changed so quickly? Yeah. And understanding your brand and shaping the brand strategy is a really powerful tool for moving it forward in a good way.
I think that's incredible. And I love that you said the number one question you get is, do I need to redesign my website? And I think it's because it goes back to the most basic version of what we think a brand is. But speaking of food, when you use that analogy of lifting the lid and seeing all the compartments, I immediately thought of the Christmas popcorn that has all the...
Yeah, exactly.
And each one stands alone. Now they work well together, but each stands alone. And so I love part of your strategy is looking at it as a whole. So what advice would you give if someone was just starting their, you know, they're looking at this themselves, lifting the lid for the first time, if you will? Mm-hmm. What's the first question you tell them to ask themselves when they look in? What do they see?
Well, I think that it's really important to... One thing that I have been talking about a lot recently is the fact that I think recipe creators are faced with a two-brand challenge. I think that we are in a more complex space than other types of creators. I've gone really deep on down the wormhole of personal brand content on Instagram and TikTok in the last several months to really understand, like, because I came from a corporate brand background where I worked in agencies. I worked with Fortune 500 companies. We did massive brand strategy projects with huge budgets, and then working with creators. And I was sort of like, is this a personal brand challenge? Because that's where the conversation was going. And I don't think it is. I think it's a two-brand challenge. So I think you have your business brand, and then you have what I like to call a founder brand, which is different than a personal brand.
Absolutely.
Because your job is to represent the business that you have built, to be the, you know, I like to consider it as being like an employee of your business. And it's your job to be head of brand, and you have to represent this brand. And that's like the intersection of the business's brand and your own founder brand. And so I think that the questions that you need to start asking to like get to the root of this and figure out where that overlap exists is, I mean, one of my least favorite questions is know your why, or what is your why? Because I don't think that having a personal why really represents the business challenge well. I think you have to get to the core of your brand's why. Why does the brand exist? And that's different from your personal why. But your personal why might support that, right? That's where the overlap happens. So I think starting with the, what is your brand's why? Why did you start this business other than to make money? Why is it there? Why does it exist? And then the second question should be, why me? When there's millions of food recipe sites out there, why should someone choose your site? What is it about you? And people are coming at this from so many, I mean, you know, food creators, right? We've got people who come from all kinds of backgrounds. We've got like lawyers and COOs and engineers and nutritionists and dietitians and like all these people who have come together in this space. They have such unique backgrounds. And I think all of it matters. Like, I had a client who, she was like, I don't think my professional background is relevant, when we did her brand audit to start. But she was a COO of a really big company. And I was like, that matters, right? Because that shapes how you approach recipe development, how you structure information on your site. Like, it gives you credibility that someone else who's in your same niche may not have.
Right.
So I think, you know, ask that, like, what is my brand's why? And then why me are where I would start.
I think that's a great question, especially as food creators are feeling like they're kind of in a crowded space, that they're trying to learn where they can start identifying what makes their content and perspective different, that why of their brand, but also then, okay, so now we know the why of the brand, but why me? What sets me apart to be able to deliver it and to be the, you know, the spokesperson for it, basically? So I think that's great. Do you have any, you kind of shared that COO experience, but do you have others that have stood out to you that you can share that you were like, surprisingly, I don't think they knew until they did that exercise that this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, let me think. One example that I'll give you was a really interesting project that I did with a creator who, her domain name was her first and last name. And so, but she was sort of like, but what do I have to offer this brand? You know, I've put my name and my face on it, but what do I have to offer this brand? And what we ended up needing to do was, because it was her first and last name, it was in a, it's still a business, right? She's just happened to loan her name to the business, as people do, like, you know, Kate Spade and all these designers who put their names on a product. And we had to start like several steps back from where I normally start and look at who is she and define her strategic self. So we knew what elements of her belonged to the brand and what elements of her did not belong to the brand that we keep away from there. And she had very unique perspectives. Again, I mean, she had a background in broadcast journalism. She grew up in Oklahoma, but lived in California. And so we came up with this brand persona that was a California girl with Oklahoma roots and really narrowed in on that as being a differentiator amongst many other things. I mean, this was a 2-month-long project. So it's hard to summarize it in a few sentences, but yeah.
I feel like that must have been quite the existential experience for her.
I think it was, but it was also for me, you know, having worked on Fortune 500 companies for all these years, I have worked on very complex brand strategy projects and I've presented to, you know, the entire C-suite, but I've never had a challenge like that where I was like, wow, the brand is the person and how do we untangle this? So it was a really interesting exercise for me to go through as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's great because I do think there's a lot of creators who have really stamped their name and likeness onto what they do, mm-hmm. which is, like you said, that's okay. But then you're going to have to start a few steps back from where you typically start. So with that being said, how does a strong brand help creators become less vulnerable with all the algorithm changes, the search updates? We heard earlier from someone else we recorded with, she said the SEO, GEO, and the EIEIO. And I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But kind of with all the shifts in platform performance, how does a strong brand help them become less vulnerable?
I think that what I like to say is that a brand, when you have a brand strategy in place, so that is like, your brand strategy becomes your compass and it becomes your guide for what to do next. And it allows you to navigate all these changes and go, what options are right for me right now? What options are right for my brand right now? For example, I see a lot of people are moving towards having a paid community or keeping some sort of content behind a paywall. I don't think that's right for every brand. And there's, you know, I had one creator who I worked with and one of her key brand values was generosity. And so we were like, how do we put content behind a paywall if generosity is the brand value? It doesn't work, right? And so that the brand strategy is your litmus test. It's like, is this on brand or not on brand? So it helps you navigate those decisions and go like, what is it for me? Is it a YouTube channel? Is it a cookbook? Is it a product line? Is it a brand partnership? Does this brand partnership work or not? And I would say that when people come to me to work one-on-one, if they're doing like my VIP brand strategy package, they usually are coming with one of two problems. Either they have had a period of growth and, you know, with the way things are changing, their traffic has declined and they're panicking and trying to figure out how to stop the bleed and what we do next. Or it's someone who's experienced a period of really rapid growth and they're still going up and their challenge is, okay, I know that I have this business that I really believe in, but what is it even? Like, it's grown so fast, I don't know what to do. And a brand is a solution to a problem, right? And what we do when we work with brand strategy is solve interesting business problems. And I think that food creators now are faced with, I mean, so many interesting business problems. It's not just one. It's not just AI. It's not just algorithms changing. I mean, there's so many. But when you get a robust brand strategy in place where you really understand the brand, you understand what it stands for, you understand its position, that enables you to make better decisions about your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate you saying that because I think that it does. When you have that solid grounding, then you're able to go. I like the litmus test. You're able to go from there and choose which roads to take and which ones not. You know, you don't want to waste your time. So going back to that, for all intents and purposes, for me, the popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
You know, what were those? I would like for you to remind our listeners before we wrap up, what were those categories inside of that popcorn brand bucket that you are looking at besides just the forward-facing website?
To be honest, the forward-facing website is one of the last things that I look at.
Incredible.
I always start with a content audit, and I look at the top 10 posts traffic-wise and also a creator's top 10 personal favorite posts. And they tell a different story. Yeah, because they tell a different story. If there's a lot of overlap, that means that like we're already kind of going in the right direction. But if there is a real difference between those, that tells us that what they want to be known for and what they are known for are two different things. So there's work to be done.
That's an
incredible. I start with that content.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
I start with a content audit, and then I do a competitor analysis to look at other players in the same space. I think that's always very interesting. And we use that information to map out a brand position. And I think that position is in the brand platform. Brand platform is a model that contains, you know, it can contain from say 3 to 10 things that comprise the brand strategy, but it's just a model that we work with. So if you hear me say brand platform, that's what it is. The brand platform, I think of the elements in that popcorn bucket, your brand position is the toughest nut to crack. And it's the toughest nut to crack in any branding project I've ever been a part of. Like, you know, in the automotive industry, in the fashion industry, in the creator industry, always brand position. But once you have that in place, once you've figured that out, all the other pieces in the bucket come together really naturally. So it's typically what I spend the most time on and what I recommend people spend the most time on as well. And then we have purpose, values, brand personality, brand identity. Those are the main ones.
But I love that the forward-facing things are the lowest on the list at the beginning, because those will it sounds to me like those naturally come when you figure out these other things.
Yeah. So as we talked about before we started recording, I live in Sweden. So, you know, IKEA is big here. Yeah. And I think like if you're only looking at the forward, like the website and how it looks and the logo and the colors and everything, that's like, you know, when you get one of these cheap sofas from IKEA and then you can get different colored covers that go over it. So it's like the cover that goes over. It's important because it's what people see and what they sit on if it's the sofa. But you can't have that without the support of the sofa underneath it. It doesn't work, right? So everything else, and really everything else that you do, the brand strategy, the brand personality, and all of those values and other elements, they should inform the type of cover that goes on top. And a lot of people start backwards, right? They just start with like, I want a beautiful website. But if you're going to brief a designer on a new identity, you need to know what the brand is before you can do that. Or you don't need to know, but you should know, ideally, in the brand world.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think is incredible, because if you're just looking at it from that first, you know, the look, that's not going to create longevity in your readers and what people are there for. So you're going to constantly be having to redo things. So I love that you're starting from the structure. So with all that we've shared today, there's been a lot, and I think people are probably going to be like frantically writing notes and all of that. So let's give them, what are a few practical things that creators can do right now to strengthen their brand strategy and make their content work harder for their business?
I think that the number one thing is understanding, what do I want to be known for and what do I need to be doing to be known for that thing? And really look at, because we have come out of an era of keyword chasing, right?
Yeah.
For so long, chasing keywords was a very effective growth strategy. And you could use your keyword research tool and you found those low competition keywords and you made those recipes and you got the traffic. Those days are over. I mean, we all know that those days are over now. So I think really understanding your brand and going, what content can I create that will serve my brand and serve my readers is also a really important place to start. And also like content that is uniquely me and uniquely of my brand, because that can't be replicated by anyone else. Yeah. And we know now, you know, content is the easiest thing to produce right now. So having that really unique point of view and an understanding of it, and then everything that you do, every recipe that you develop, every post that you write, every reel you record for Instagram, every, you know, photo that you take should be filtered through that brand lens, so that everything is super consistent and you're creating I always say that we want to create a brand that people resonate with, remember, and relate to.
That's amazing.
No, that's wrong. Resonate with, remember, and return to. Resonate and remember, like, or relate to are the same. So, okay, we got four R's. Anyways, the return, remember and return to are really important, but the resonance, it's like, oh, I see myself, I relate to this creator, I want to come back to them. The memorability happens through consistency. So we know that we're going to have a consistent experience there, and therefore we remember to come back to this creator when we want something new. And that is the final R, the return to.
Amazing. I think that's really great. And I hope that our listeners will take those things and apply them, because those were, you know, very like tactical things that they can do and to start today. So thank you so much for being here, for sharing all that. I think right now in this world where things do feel oversaturated, or they feels like, where do I even go? Where do I start? What do I do? That is very, very helpful. So we appreciate you being here. Want to ask you kind of a personal rapid fire. What is one CPG brand that you think nails their brand identity across socials, traditional marketing campaigns, a dream brand collaboration, if you will?
A dream brand collaboration. I mean, I think Oatly, another Swedish brand, you know, they are so, they've done a really, really great job with every element of their brand. From, they've got a very strong brand personality. They came in as a category disruptor. They've got a very...
What brand is this?
Oatly.
Oatly. Okay.
Yeah. The oat milk that came from Sweden. They really, like, the cartons are so identifiable. I think a lot of people would, you know, they've almost put themselves in a position where people refer to any brand of oat milk as Oatly now, at least in Sweden. So I think that that's a really good cue that they've done a good job. And, you know, there's so much character to their social media feed, to the designs on their packaging, and they're constantly changing. So I think that they're really nailing their brand.
I love that. I agree. Yeah. When I go to any, you know, place to get a drink and I see that they're using Oatly, I'm like, oh, that's so good. Cause I know that they label things in the right way and their branding is consistent, all of those things. So I think that's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We would love for everyone to be able to connect to you. So where can they find you on socials and website?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm at Foodie Brand Lab, and I drop bite-sized brand strategy content all throughout the week there. So that's definitely a really good place to follow along and just get like little tips dripped out all the time. The website is foodiebrandlab.com. There's also a newsletter that you can subscribe to called Brand Bites. It comes out twice a month. So those are the key points. And I do also have a webinar coming up. It'll be in September, just after Labor Day. I think it's Thursday, September 10th. And this is going to be a webinar. It's a totally free webinar. You have to register, but you know, there's no strings attached. And it is going to do a deep dive into that two brand challenge that I mentioned at the beginning here. So how I think that this is a really unique challenge for recipe creators and understanding the what each of these brands are and how they work together. So we're going to do a session on that in September.
I think that's incredible. And I love that you're doing it in September before the huge rush of Q4, but also at a time when, hey, let's dial things in, make sure everything's good. So I think that's fantastic. And our listeners get to meet you at Tastemaker Conference.
Yeah.
We're so excited. You're coming all the way from Sweden.
This is actually going to be my sixth Tastemaker.
Yeah. Yes.
But my first as a sponsor.
It means so much to us. I hope our readers know how much our sponsors mean to us, because what it says is you invest in the creator economy and creator future. And so we are so excited. We've loved having you at our Tastemaker conferences, but we're so excited for you to have a landing place. So now our creators can come and talk to you. They can book 15-minute one-on-ones with you if they're interested in what you're doing and want to talk to you more, because my guess is after listening to this, they're going to be like, yes, I absolutely need to look at this for my business, because how do we have the longevity to move forward if we haven't nailed those basic things? So we are so excited to welcome you as your first time as a sponsor at Tastemaker Conference in January 2027, our 10th anniversary as well. So if you haven't got your ticket, for those of you listening, make sure to grab that. There will be wonderful people like Katie and others there. And we look forward to seeing everyone. Thanks again, Katie, for joining us today. And until next time, we'll see you later.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Tastemaker Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know by leaving a review, giving us a rating, or sharing it with your creator friends.
And of course, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
You can find more from us on our website, tastemakerconference.com, or even join us for an event where we learn and grow as a community of creatives.
The conversation doesn't stop here. Talk soon!